AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
This is Jeff T. from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay Authenticity Guarantee. Visit ebay.com for terms.
The Volume.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL playoffs, is bringing you an offer that will help make the playoffs electrifying. New customers can bet $5 on any game and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. The Cowboys are 7-point favorites against the Packers this weekend, and I am excited to see how they manage to mess it up.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Jenkins. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code Jenkins. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Tuesday, March 5th, and we've got the episode you've all been waiting for. It's our Love is Blind recap of the most recent episodes, and we are joined by Mina Kimes. Mina, thanks for hopping on the show. We appreciate you.
Any chance to talk Love is Blind, I'll take it. I mean, I would come on anyways.
But, I feel like Mike ain't sell Mina enough, man. Super fan. Like, one of the... Yes. The goats of this Love is Blind commentary.
Historian,
stuff.
You might say. Paul Piper of Love is Blind.
Leading intellectual figure in the Love is Blind universe, absolutely. And Tyler, our very own Love is Blind salesman, has got the Notebook of Doom is back. Tyler, could you show that?
The old notebook is back, boys. Damn. It's just like college when I was just doodling, not really taking notes. But we're going to get to it. And then there were three. We started off with five couples. We are down to three couples now. We had Jeremy and Laura blow up in extraordinary fashion. We will get to that later. But one of the couples who did not make it to this stage, who I'm very interested to get Mina's insight on, was, of course, Kenneth and Brittany. The fellas here, we were very much anti-Kenneth on that. We thought that, you know, he was just out here wasting everybody's time with that. But I'm curious on where you stand with you know, the basically, you know, how that relationship basically crumbled there, Mina.
Sorry, were you talking to me? Okay.
That's a good bit. That's such a good bit.
Our boy Kenneth, he got a bad edit, but he definitely is full on Zoomer with the phone. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty whack. I did see, however, Brittany defend him this was, I don't know how deep you guys are in Love is Blind Reddit or Love is Blind Internet, but she hopped out
there on the internet. Defending
you hopped out there on the internet, which, by the way, and more, I feel like Brittany has emerged as the one true winner of this season.
She's
as Love is Blind,
person, dude. She's so pure.
Seems like a great person, right? Good hang, zero points against Brittany. She has said the phone thing wasn't really a problem. And I don't know if she pointed this out or someone else did, but I guess they had to reenact their breakup for the cameras, explain a little bit why Kenneth was so emotionless during it. That said, the dude is definitely on his phone too much. And it was in a very, he's 25. And I feel like you kind of forget he's 25 because he's a principal. I don't know how a 25-year-old becomes a principal.
Yeah.
And because he presents older. Watching him on his phone, I was like, oh, you're 25. Like, yes. You know, very good. Yes. And yes. As far as like, you know, and when we look at the infractions committed by various people on this show, to me, ranks a little bit lower, all things considered. But yeah, not a great, I just think they weren't that attracted to each other. You know, it was like pretty obvious from the jump, frankly. And yeah, sometimes people just aren't attracted to each other. Is it what it is?
Do you have more information on the original breakup? Like how that happened?
Well, it seems like having off camera. There's been a lot of off camera action in this season, right? And when they do break up, they talk about the fact that he came home really late and was maybe like, hey, you know, Homer Simpson voice. And I think that might have been why when they actually broke up. I got that impression.
Okay.
So.
Gotcha. Yeah. You know, I'm definitely with you. I think that the sparks were just not there after they met for whatever reason. Like when she basically had to beg that man to cuddle her while they were on that beautiful turquoise, you know, sea tour. Like, bro, if you're not being cuddly at some shit like that, y'all just are not gonna work. It just ain't there, dude.
He had that thousand-yard stare too, where they were talking and he was like looking off into a different like universe. And I'm like, bro, you know what I mean? Like, nobody's happy here.
She was like, I'm really touchy feely. I was like, yeah, I'm really touchy feely too. Did not reach out to touch her or nothing.
No like, touching yeah, or done. Feeling commenced. Yeah,
yeah, they're done.
I know. I saw people pinning it on AD, like asking him about the fact that he had never dated a white woman. Totally normal conversation to have. Thought that was kind of bullshit. But you know, I it's possible. But the recap show I do on YouTube is with David Dennis Jr. And he mentioned maybe he had a conversation with a family member that we didn't see that also affected his thinking. But I really think, like, going back, I don't think they were ever into each other as soon as they saw each other. And I think it went both ways, which, you know, it happens. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the premise of the show, right? I mean, it's like, yes, that will happen. That's like, especially on this show, it will happen.
Yes.
It's part of the game. It's all about if that chemistry is there on that first meet or not. You can usually tell from there. But speaking of meetings, this was the Meet the Parents episode, and it opened with Jeremy talking to his mom. About how he royally fucked up with one of the biggest asshole moves you've ever seen in Love is Blind history. Coming in at 5 a.m. You know, he pulled up the whole tired. You had my, you had my Apple location, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, the speculation is he got caught up because he left his phone in the car, but he had his Apple Watch on when he went to, you know, Sarah Ann's house. So, you know, that's probably why that thing went south there. So, you know, I want to say I came out from this appreciating Jeremy's mom, because I'm like, at least you do not come from a long line of bullshitters. At least you are like the variant here, you know, because she shot so straight when I'm like, yeah, you pulled that shit with me, we're probably done too.
No, she said, you're lucky you didn't do it to me. Like, that's about as harsh as I think I've ever seen. Like, that's like Sparta or something. Like, human mothers do not usually talk like that about their kids, even when their son is the biggest fuck up ever. She say, you're lucky you didn't do that to me.
She insinuated that she would have put hands on his ass. That's how it kind of felt. Like, I would have beat your little ass if I was her. You lucky, my boy. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, yeah, she's definitely not a bullshitter. She shot straight to him for sure.
She also knew something that we didn't know, which is that he was engaged weeks before going on the show. So put yourself in the mindset. We now know this is yours. Put yourself in the mindset of this woman, your son who was just engaged, then got rapid fire engaged again, then is telling you, I basically cheated on the woman that I was now in my reality show engagement with. That his mom was like, please, you know, like, I'm taking nothing about you seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. That was just, I don't know. It's been a lot of dirt that's come up on these cast members. We'll kind of get to that as we, you know, address each cast member here. But man, the internet detectives were internet detective on this cast, bro.
It seemed like all of them had like a situation. Even the good, solid ones seemed like they had something going on prior when they first applied. It's kind of crazy, but yeah.
Right. So then, you know, keeping in the meeting with the parents theme, we met Chelsea's parents. Jimmy met Chelsea's parents, who just were like your prototypical Southern, you know, family. They were like, if Cracker Barrel was a family, it would be them, right? And then, you know, from there we had
they were fresh out of the barrel.
Did they not meet at a Cracker Barrel? Like, that is so on point, bro.
Cracker Barrel-y,
bro. Like, yeah, like, damn, bro. Like,
it looked real, real big boys breakfasty in that motherfucker. Yes. But we had a moment there where we had a pretty big argument with Jimmy and Chelsea, which was basically revolving around how Jimmy went out to hang with some friends for about an hour. Chelsea gave the impression, you know, everything was cool. I'm not mad at it. You know, he comes home. You know, they talk about it. She puts out there, yeah, you know, one of the castmates saw you out there, you know, and she kind of just basically implies that she wasn't cool with it, even though she said she was cool with it. Jimmy says, bro, I just went out there for an hour to meet with some frat bros. I showed my face, you know, and then I came back. And now,
is this what you're going to do? Yes. Is this what it's going to be like to be married?
You're going to leave the home sometimes? I can't deal with that.
After she gave him her permission. After she said it was cool.
I can't be with someone who wants to be out for an hour all the time.
I didn't want to go, but I wanted to go. You know what I mean?
Like, before we started taping, we were all talking about how this show is a great couple watching show, like a husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend show. Because you get to do something that, as couples, nothing will make you stronger in your relationship, which is hating together, hating on it. And let me tell you, Chelsea is persona non grata in my household. Yo, watching this scene, my husband and I were just like, what the fuck? And just say, my husband's like, yo, this woman is a nightmare. And I was just like, we were doing like a call and response. Yo, what? Nightmare. Hater. Hater more. She sucks. Cannot believe this. Like, just like, I an actual nightmare of a human.
Yes, yes. I felt like this argument that they had was so very real. Like, you know, we might have talked about how Kenneth and Brittany shit was staged, but this is how shit works. That little thing snowballs into the bigger thing.
Someone's
shit
drunk.
Ends, right?
One person's drunk. She was schmacked.
She was, she was drunk as fuck. She was trying to be manipulative. She was trying to do all this other stuff. Right. Mina, we were doing the exact same thing. My wife does not use the B word to refer to women, but she was like, it's like, we were both losing our mind the whole time. It was like, we're screaming at the TV, just run out of the house. Like, just leave and never come back.
Free yourself. This is when I really realized he liked it. I'm like,
when she came back the next day and was doing the cat face at him, when she came back the next day and was like, I don't want to talk to each other like that again. It was like, bro, just like go through the window.
My body hurt. I was in physical pain watching that. Like, bro, what are you doing? And I'm not even pro Jimmy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think we have to talk about how the tide shifted there, because I'm going to say this. You say you're not pro Jimmy. He earned my respect like a motherfucker during that argument. When they had that moment where she pulled that shit. Where Jimmy told her, you know, this lady friend that I have, you know, we had sex before. I'm telling you this in confidence because, that's what I should do. But do not mention it on camera. I thought Jimmy played that perfectly. I think that if you have someone new in your life who's a romantic partner and you're friends with a woman who you know, had a fling with in the past, I think you should be honest in that way and be like, yeah, you know, me and her had something. We were homies now, though. That's it. Right. And you should keep that off camera because she did not consent to have her information put out there like that. Right. She did not consent to have the whole world know that she fucked Jimmy. Right.
So I felt that
Jimmy played it, you know, perfectly, where he was completely transparent with her and said, let's keep this off camera. Do not bring her into this. And she pulled that bullshit on camera. And then, you know, Jimmy had
and
that
they
moment.
Used it too.
That's what really pissed him off. And you can see that's what really pissed him off too. That's where he was like, all right, fuck this conversation.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you where Jimmy earned my motherfucking respect here. when he had that moment where you know, she was like, I'm just not comfortable with you hanging with her. He was like, so you want me to scale back my friendship with her because of, you know, basically because of your insecurities. And she was like, yes. And he was like, no, I'm not going to do it. And walked the fuck off and went and brushed his teeth. Yes. I said, this motherfucker is cold. I said, I might have had Jimmy all fucked up.
Right back, though, the next day and took her back. He earned my respect. Then he immediately lost it.
No, I feel like this. Like I said, I feel like he shifted the momentum a bit here because I think Chelsea might have been playing with him a bit like he will not leave me. Right. Like, I think that was kind of the assumption that Chelsea was working on. But I think because he was very much firm on the fact that I think I'm done here that whole night. Right. Mm-hmm. And Chelsea, I think the reality hit Chelsea that, oh, this dude really might be done. I might need to stop wilding out a bit and tone it down.
So when Dave and I talked about this, I was like, I just don't get it. I don't know what does he have over her? And David had this look on his face. And I would like to hear your gentleman's thoughts. Best sex he's ever had, because there's no other explanation for it.
No,
why is he staying?
Okay, serious answer. That's like maybe not super funny, but one of the things that Shar and I were talking about after the show is like you get the reality shit, and you're also getting some like genuine psychological insight into human beings in this show, right? Like I imagine that's part of what you guys have liked about it.
Yes,
we have a friend who is in an abusive marriage with an abusive woman. That's exactly what it looks like. I mean, it's the psychology and personality types of the wrong types meshing with each other. But it's that same thing where, like, we were saying to him, just run it, like, just leave. You know what I mean? But it starts with that, like, and I don't know, you know, I would never want to, you know, psychoanalyze someone I've only known through 2E, but I do think that's part of it. It's like he's just, like, she's got him under her thumb in some manipulative way. That you saw it in that, like, by the end of that reconciliation conversation, he was, like, apologizing to her. For a situation he had perfectly described with clear eyes as being, you got drunk and were talking shit to me. I don't know.
Think
maybe best sex ever, but I think it's some nasty personality shit at play there. I don't know.
I don't think she has him under her thumb. I don't get that. I think she's pretty insecure. I think her reaction, the reason she reacts that way is because she doesn't have him under her thumb. But I do think, yes, crazy people generally are crazy and multiple areas. And if you're crazy in the bedroom, my boy, you feel me? Like, I always tell Tyler, at all podcasts, we talk like, I like a little crazy. You need that sprinkled in you. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? She has more than enough. She's overseasoned. You feel me? But like, yes, it's probably fun. It won't last, I don't think. But yeah, that's probably what's keeping them around right now. I 1,000% agree.
I think it's probably the plainest explanation is he genuinely likes her. Because I think all of us, until this argument, we were like, Jimmy has seen, you know, how bad, you know, Jessica is, how bad EpiPen is, right? We were like, he's going to take whatever out he can to pursue that. And his out was right there, plain as day. The way that she overreacted in that moment, I don't think anyone in the world would have blamed him if he called things quits right there, right? But he came back and he was ready to try to make things work. And, you know, we saw the conversation he had with Jessica, which we'll touch on further. And he seems very content with the relationship that he has with Chelsea, right? So I think he just genuinely likes her, dude.
The reason he didn't leave is because she got that grip on him, my boy. You feel me? As a dude in my young 20s, I was in a relationship I shouldn't have been in for 5 years, bro. You know what I'm saying? Because so dog, you know what I mean? Hey, man, it be like that sometimes. I don't, and also talking about genuinely liking her. Is that that personality? I don't know.
Right,
know
the difference
is that between we don't like it.
No, but it's like, the difference between genuinely liking her and codependency is like, you know.
Okay.
It's like paper thin. I don't know.
Bro. I'll throw out one more possible explanation. He might be image conscious. Like he might not want to be perceived as a failure or as a bad guy. Because, you know, we're talking about these, like, they're not normal relationships. They're all playing out on camera.
Yeah.
But my guy, like, you had an out. You had an easy out there. You had to know that you could have gotten out. Maybe he didn't know, though. Maybe he's worried that, like, oh, America's saying, I'm picking this woman. She's not as attractive as the other woman. She's super into me. I don't want to be seen as the shake of this season. Yeah. Nope, you are not the shake, bro. You are not the shake of the season.
Oh, yeah.
But you never know how you're coming across. I always think about that. Like, I really hate Laura. I can't stand her. She's honestly my least favorite contestant to watch. And I just feel like watching her, maybe I'm skipping ahead. We could talk about it. Her fight with Jeremy at the party. The whole time I'm like, this woman in her head is thinking like, I'm going viral with these lines and I'm reading him. Anna is going to love me. Hate her guts.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, go ahead. We're for sure going to get to that. But like I said,
this is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. You'll know when you get it. It'll say eBay, authenticity, guarantee. You'll feel it because when it comes to your feet, eBay has your back. Maybe it's a head-turning pair for hooping or a hot new collab. Whatever you're after, when you cop on eBay, you can trust that your kicks will be checked by experts, not just any expert. Sneaker experts who live and breathe the culture. Real people with real hands-on authentication experience. That's when blue checkmark represents on our listing. eBay authenticity guarantee, meaning every inch, stitch, sole, logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. So when you finally step into those grill kicks, you'll realize the feeling is unlike any other. And with eBay authenticity guarantee, the feeling of real is always within reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
I earned a lot of respect from Jimmy, and especially when he called her bluff. He was like, you said your friend was at the bar? Yeah, he said, I don't believe that. He called her out on her shit.
He said, I think you're fishing. The memes that came from that were hilarious, too. But
yes, yes.
Anyway.
Yes. So moving along, you know, like the whole meeting the parents theme, we move on to Clay and AD, where, you know, they meet AD's mom. AD's mom is pretty impressed with Clay, right? Like she says something to AD along the lines of, you said something to me that I never heard you say about a man, is that, you know, I can follow this man, right? And then, you know, Clay shows up and he tells us the same story. He told us a million times. Yeah, you know, my dad was married for 25 years, but, you know, he wasn't faithful. So I don't really know. You know, I know the marriage can work, but I don't really know if it can work. Right. Like he gives us that same shit all again. But one of the light bulb moments for us, Mina, was when in the previous episode drops, when they went to Clay's house and we found out that, you know, he had his South Carolina track uniform framed in his room. We were like,
yes,
OK. This is a track guy. That explains so, so much, right? Like, for the people who aren't familiar.
He's an all-American quarter miler in the SEC. It's a personality type, just like an NFL wide receiver or whatever else.
Yes, sure. That's what I was going to say. For the people who aren't familiar, the frame of reference here is all NFL wide receivers were track guys at one time. We're elite track guys, right? The same DNA that is in Clay was in Terrell Owens and fucking Ocho Cinco, right? Like they are cut from the same cloth. And that made so much sense to me because a lot of us were wondering, where does this ego come from? Where does this, like when he proposed to AD, that man said, well, you take my lovely hand. I ain't never seen no shit like that before. But then I found out he was a track dude and it like all made sense. So I'm curious, Mina, you know, being that you are, you know, a sports commentator, when you found out he was a track guy, did some light bulbs go off for you there?
I don't really know that like much about track guys generally. I only felt like he's never been to a wedding based on the way he, like he's him not understanding how like rings work and like general proposals and stuff. He definitely was an athlete. Like that was very obvious to me.
He hit her with the AD all day. I was like, okay, this is a football fan. You know what I'm saying?
That's Adrian Peterson's nickname. Yeah.
And AD loved it. I was like, that's Adrian Peterson appropriation, girl. You know, you know what I'm saying? I was hating a little bit.
But, I've never heard that before. Yeah.
You're right.
Track guy interest. Okay. So this is a little awkward for me because no big deal. I've seen the finale. I know some things you guys don't. I'm really trying not to spoil. There's stuff about this. This isn't a spoiler at all. Mm-hmm. His dad was also a runner, and there's stuff that comes out that actually explains a lot.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Okay. Got
he's
you.
A runner,
all right.
He's a track star.
She's trying so hard. It's so hard for me to not say it.
I thought more was explained by the fact that he had that pillow with him and his friends' faces on it in his room.
Yeah, he hung up his track jersey in his bedroom, not the living room, his bedroom. like that tells you everything.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, all right. So, yeah. So then, you know, we move on to Johnny and Amy. But we have the moment where they try to play us, try to play up to us like, oh, if Amy's dad says no, the whole thing is going to kaput. We all knew that was going to be an easy ace. Of course, you know, Amy's dad is down with that. So I have nothing to say about that couple.
Do you guys ever have anything to say about Johnny and Amy? I think they're perfect for each other.
Yes. Yeah, the NPCs, and they're perfect for each other, but we're not here for the fairy tales. We're here for the drama. Right. Yeah,
Tyler called them our show's version of NPCs, which he says that Johnny looks like every Major League Baseball player's face merged into one face, which is a Jenkins and Jones. Lee, yeah.
Whoever you want to throw out there, dog.
So
Bryce Harper. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Literally and they're probably going to be married for 25 fucking years or whatever. But yes. Okay. So time for the fireworks.
Let's go.
Yes.
Let's get to it. The main event.
We get to the party at the River House. You know, it opens with the ladies congregating. And, you know, we have, you know, Laura basically holding court during a fuck Jeremy meeting with, you know, AD, Amy and Chelsea. You know, she basically explains to them the whole situation about how he stayed out at 5 a.m. and she knew his location and all that. And that's the first time she drops her whole little, he can kick rocks with no shoes on.
Okay. She workshopped it first. She tried it twice before actually. I can't. I hate this kind of person so much.
Yes, you could tell that she was searching for a viral moment there because she tried to dress it up a little differently later. And we'll touch on that too. So, you know, she's holding court there. She basically gives everyone the rundown on how, you know, her and Jeremy are basically, you know, basically done. But it doesn't feel all the way done. It feels like there's this much crack left in the door, right? It feels like that, you know? And then, you know, basically we have Trevor showing up and, you know, everyone goes wild. Trevor was like a very likable dude. The bros liked him. Even the woman like had some eyebrow raising moments. Like Chelsea was looking at that motherfucker like a steak. But we have heard some things about Trevor online. Yeah. The internet canceled. Detectives have.
Trevor's over. Yeah,
also how he moved at that joint was kind of lame too.
John and I were talking about
Jimmy and then I'm trying to take your fiance. I don't like none of that sneaky stuff like that, bro.
So background story, it's unsubstantiated. It's not necessarily corroborated, but they're saying that he told his girlfriend at the time he was going on there just to get viral. He's a bodybuilder just trying to build his brand. Then he kind of cut things off with her after that. And it seems like he was probably really.
That's why God gave him that eczema attack right when he was going to the.
Right on his hairline. Right at the most powerful line for a man.
That's karma. That's instant karma right there.
Yeah.
And right, build your brand. It's Mr. Olympia eczema.
And then Jess shows up and we get the first meeting between Jess and Jimmy. And they have a sit down where. It feels like sparks were flying, but in like the most respectful way.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Like it felt
it was
like
charged.
It was for sure charged. That's the great word to use there.
Yeah.
It felt like it was a very honest conversation where you had to lay out how extreme your emotions were for each other. But it didn't feel like any boundaries were crossed. Right. It felt like, you know, Jimmy complimented her like, yo, you're the smartest person I've ever met, which I mean, I don't know what the bar is there. But yeah.
So it's family.
Yeah, we did. And she was just, you know, like I said, it felt like they laid out everything. They expressed how deep their emotions were, but it wasn't like disrespectful. There were no boundaries crossed there. And like I said, that further affirmed for me that Jimmy really likes Chelsea. right? Because yeah. like as honest and as charged as that conversation was, there was still like a level of decorum there where Jimmy did not cross any lines due to his situation, you know?
His anxiousness around Chelsea and Trevor hanging together made me think he really liked it. That kind of like confirmed that more than the conversation. Where you could see he was kind of like...
Also when he was, yeah.
Go ahead. You were saying?
He got upset when he was like, I heard you say Emmy and Johnny were the strongest couple over us. Yeah, bro, no yeah. shit. Have you like, we've been watching the yeah. show. right. You know?
Right.
That interaction, I thought Jess was very conscious of being on television the whole time. Like, as she has been, she feels like she's on a different show. Not just, she looks like someone who's on a different show. Like, yeah. you know, and like one of the, like Too Hot to Handle or something. And it felt like she went into that, like knowing exactly what to say to stay out of trouble.
Right.
To not, no one's going to accuse her of trying to move on Chelsea's man. I also feel like she probably wasn't even that into Jimmy when she saw him. She doesn't date guys who look like Jimmy. Come on, be real. So I think she knew just enough to like stay in the mix of the show and to be like, to make her splash, but she was very conscious of it. Also the way, oh my God, can we talk about the cameramen and the way they were shooting her at that party?
Like, yeah.
It's basically like following her butt up the stairs and like zooming yeah. in on her body parts and stuff. But yeah, it was a little bit anticlimactic for me just because it felt like they were building towards her return being so dramatic, but it was still good television.
Can we talk about the jet skis?
Like, we're for sure going to get there. What would you like to see there, Mina? What would have been perfect television for you, for Jess and Jimmy?
I was hoping she would actually make a play for him, which she didn't. The way they were teasing it.
I think I'm glad she didn't, because I don't know if I'd like her as much. You know yeah. what I mean? If she were to, like, because I'm like, this nigga, come on, bro.
She went wall to wall. Me? Perfect performance.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
She played it how she should have, for sure.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, she was very much, you know, heartbroken about Jimmy not picking her. Like I said, the conversation they had was very honest about how, you know, strong their emotions were for each other. But like I said, no one crossed any bounds in that conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
But speaking of a conversation where I felt boundaries were crossed, we had Chelsea and Trevor, right? And, you know, we yes. had, you know, the conversations where that conversation was quite flirty by my, you know, estimation.
It felt like she was about to ask him to flex his, like you do the thing with your pecs. Like, it felt like she was about to.
Can you make your titties individually bounce for me, Trevor? But, but yeah, it just like Trevor was like, yeah, we'd have had a great life together. I wonder why you didn't wear the bracelet. You should have worn the bracelet that we had. And it was just like, I mean, coupled with the things that we've heard about Trevor, and it feels like Trevor was such a sentimental favorite. Like, we found out before all this stuff found out, we found out that Chelsea left him the same day his dog died. That was also named Chelsea. I was like, bro, drop the country album already. You know what I'm saying? Like, you yeah. know, and then he comes here and it's like, you know, we know the allegations about him doing his girlfriend dirty. And then we see him just kind of, you know, low key dirty macking on Chelsea. And
ain't no
like,
low key. He was Joe. All right. He was a
he was R&B Joe.
He was a top 2-3 dirty macker in that shit, and she was leaning all the way in, bro. You feel me?
Yeah. Okay. And then we had another.
She seems drunk all the time to me. I'll just say that.
Who, Chelsea? Dirty Martini.
She is a lush. She is a lush. For sure.
And she's a flight attendant, so she gets like different drunk at altitudes. You know what I'm saying? So, so when she like is living amongst us normies on the ground, that drunk probably isn't even the same high from when she gets drunk at work. But then we had a conversation with AD and Sarah Ann, where AD, hey, she just we thought it was girl time. Hey, girl, how you doing? Catching up? But AD stepped to her, you know, because of course, you know, she, like I said, she had sat down during that Laura powwow where Laura had kind of explained how things had gone with Jeremy and how he was out, you know, with Sarah Ann, you know, finagling till 5 a.m. And AD had a conversation with her where things went to, you know, AD just basically kind of, I don't even know if it's necessarily taken up for Laura. It was more so taken up for.
She said, I'm team Laura.
Yeah, but it felt like she was taken up for respecting what another woman has more than respecting Laura. You feel me?
I need you're a hoe. But I, so what did you think, Mina? Because we talked about this a little among the three of us off, like after last year. What did you think about the way AD approached her?
I was kind of like, I don't know why you're getting involved in this a little bit. I wasn't as, it seemed like the internet's really been like, AD read her, what a queen moment, yes. And I was like, I mean, look, I want to be clear. I'm not team Sarah Ann by any measure, which I, when they showed Sarah Ann, I don't know if you guys, we got a mixed group here. You, when you see one of your, Sarah Ann's half Asian. So I was like, I need you to be good for us. And then she immediately disappointed my people. Like, she, I was like, oh, shit. And you kind of hold out a little bit. And when she came in with the, I'm a patriot, I was like, oh.
Yeah, that was finally,
you know, we got one. And she's, she's.
She said, Mina, I'm half white. Thank you very much.
So, you know, I'm questioning my own unconscious biases. But everybody involved is pretty terrible. But I actually kind of, again, not siding with Sarah Ann, clearly in the wrong. Jeremy is clearly a horrible human being. I think everybody involved is a terrible human being. However, I think Sarah Ann, when she was like, look, I DM'd him, I shot my shot. She's kind of seeing it for what it is, which is this is a 2 week. These people have known each other for 2 weeks. I have every right to try to make it work with him. And I think AD was coming from the perspective of how dare you question the integrity of these relationships because she's in one.
Right.
And y'all, this ain't that
reality,
you know what
TV
mean?
Engaged. Right, you're not really engaged. So I actually I didn't think, again, the way Jeremy handled it sucks. Sarah Ann, clearly a shitty person, but I do think they were all overreacting a little bit to the transgression.
We totally, that was our exact feeling. It's just like, you're engaged barely. Like, that's, this is not like, oh, my friend has been engaged to this guy she's been with for 3 years. It's like, you were almost engaged to him 40 seconds ago. So of course you're going to send him a message. And I thought it was a pretty respectful message. Like, if the door's open, you know, like, let me, it was a, you know,
you
like a down
shit.
The line thing.
You
yeah.
Yeah, like 99.9% of people are going to break up, and everybody knows that shit, right? You know what I'm saying? And like 40 seconds before they were engaged, they were dating. She had just broke up with them if we're going by the game. So she hit up her ex-boyfriend saying, hey, I know you're moving on, but if you want to revisit it, cool, boom. She was heartbroken in the moment, right? And then she moved on. It's for him, and it's his responsibility to Laura to not meet up and go do whatever. She don't know Laura. They homegirls. What the fuck? I don't know why people don't. I don't know why people don't say more of
girl code.
I don't know you, my nigga. Like, I don't know you. You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, like, we just met. What the fuck are you talking about? I'll be saying that like eight. I said that probably 12 times already. But yeah, man, I think that was so ridiculous. And I love AD. She's one of my favorites on the show, but I did not like that. I thought that was ridiculous. I thought it was lame. You know what I mean?
AD strikes me as someone who's like very into girl code and friends, and she's very popular. And part of that's because she seems like a cool hang. Like, she seems like the most normal person on the show, and I like her too. And probably the person I would hate the least, right?
Yeah.
However, I do think that was born of like, well, I'm in this, you know, you're breaking girl code and we're in a friend group and you're violating and whatever. By the way, insane double standard, because a lot of them were like Laura herself was like pretty cool with Jess reaching out to, or maybe still being interested in Jimmy or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, I thought it was pretty ridiculous.
I mean, I think AD just seems to be a stickler for the rules for what they sign up for, right? Like, because Clay tried to float it out there, like, hey, I really like you, but hey, I don't know if I'm all the way ready for marriage. Will we still be able to date after this? Yeah. She's like, hell no. She's like, no, you know what we signed up for. If you say no at the altar, we're done, right? Like, I think she's very, very, I think she's just someone who knows what this experience should be. And someone who like abides by that, right?
But you can't ignore the reality. Regardless of the rules, the reality is the reality. And so I'm like, yo, yes, you know, she's invested into this experiment and she wants everybody to abide by the rules. But the reality is you met the man 10 days ago. You know what I mean? Right. Mm-hmm. You broke up with Sarah Ann and Jeremy broke up 4 days ago, whatever. Like, come on, man. It's just
also I have to think this is where the kind of institutional knowledge of the show. There was a season, merely two seasons ago, where a guy and a girl broke up. The guy, Zach, got together with Bliss. Now they're like happily married and having kids.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about that because Arena was one of the worst people to ever.
Yes, one of the worst people.
So,
which we will discuss later as well. But yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I'm with y'all. This you do have to detach yourself a bit from reality if you think that this is a good model to find someone to fall in love with forever. Like the odds are just not there. But like I said, I for sure kind of see where AD comes from because AD just does not seem like she plays that shit at all. You know.
Okay, so
I don't think it's AD being delusional. I just think AD is like, bro, this is what the fuck we signed up for. Why are you, you know, bullshitting? Why are you lollygagging with what we signed up for?
Do you guys want to get to the villain? I got about 6 or 7 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know you got to go. I have two questions. One is, have any of the three of you ever been happier than Jeremy on the jet ski at any moment in your life?
One of my favorite scenes ever. what a season for jet skis. So funny. It made me want a jet ski so I could be that happy because I've never been that happy.
I think you've never shaken your head back and forth in the middle of a laugh before.
My mouth has never been that wide for sure. Like he was showing every single tooth in his mouth. I think saw me being born. That took me to that level of happiness, but it took a child being born for me to get that excited about something ridiculous.
It's what it, listen, bro. Like I try to tell y'all, bro, this Jeremy motherfucker, he's different. Cause I told y'all have never seen Love is Blind. When he stayed out till 5 a.m. and then came back, like everything was going to be hunky dory. I was like, this dude is different. This is like, I told y'all that was MJ 63 in Boston Garden. That jet ski moment, that was LeBron's game 7 in 2016, where we thought he was done. Right? Where we thought he was done. We thought he was down for the count, but nope. He still got another trick in the bag, buddy. And just to see his pure joy on his face when he like shitted on Laura and basically, you know, Laura knew that it was done. And he was out there jet skiing with, you know, with Sarah.
Doing
Ann,
figure eights. You know what I mean? Like
she was on the shore watching them. So funny.
Yes. It is hilarious. Mina, I didn't know that we had a heart out, but do you have time to do your top five most, you know,
let me hear yours first, actually, then I'll tell you mine. Okay.
I will tell you. All right. So we've got Arena season 4. You know, we mentioned her with Zach and Bliss. Keeping it, you know, gender inclusive here. She
this is your five Bliss. Worst people, is that right?
Five
this
worst
is,
people.
Your five worst people in Love is Blind history.
Okay.
And then we've got Andrew, right? Season 2, the dude, the eye drop guy. Who when he went into the confessional to fake himself like he was crying. He's he for sure makes my list, right? Like I feel like that performance has gotten forgotten. I feel like that's Bron's like 51-8-8 in the finals.
Just he put eye drops in. There's video of him putting eye drops.
There's video of him putting eye drops in.
Did him real dirty.
And the producers dropped. And this wasn't like a YouTube deep cut. The Netflix producers put it on the Netflix show. Like look at this fucking guy right here, right? So Andrew is my number 4 for that. Uche is just
brutal.
Just an all-around condescending jerk, right? Like I just didn't like that guy. And then we had the whole drama with you know him and you know Aaliyah and the whole shit where Shorty was like dating him and they both went on at the same time. There's a lot of shit with Uche who I didn't really like. Jeremy is my number 2. You know, I thought Jeremy might have been number 1. I thought Jeremy might have been number 1, but after like doing my research and like you know, just kind of refreshing my memory on Shake. It's Shake is still the GOAT. Shake is still the worst. Shake is still the worst person to ever be on Love is Blind.
So this isn't Shake's worst crime, but since you guys didn't watch the season with him, one of the funniest things. So you know, this season when Clay was trying to get AD to tell him how she looked, right? And he was just straight up about it, like what do you look like. Shake's method was to ask women, if we were at a concert, could I carry you on my shoulders as a way of trying to find out how much they weigh? Incredible. And he got this like very beautiful Indian American. He was Indian American, but he was like, I normally go for blonde women. And he was like not attracted to her. It was horrible. But that was
Yeah. Shake had this whole thing where the subtext was, I normally go for a white woman, but I'm an Indian guy who wants an Indian wife, right? Like, and he got with Deepthi, and Deepthi was beautiful, great personality too, and he just was not into her. He was just, and he just did her so dirty. And listen, I'm going to tell you what steered me when I was doing my research. Deepthi wrote a book basically about her experience there, and people interviewed Deepthi, right? And people reached out to Shake to get his, you know, commentary on that. Because, of course, you know, Shake's kind of a big part of this because, you know, we don't have this book if she's not on Love Is Blind, right? And in a statement to people, this is what Shake wrote, bro. He says, "I think it says a lot that I've been in a healthy, happy relationship for some time now, focused on the future,
marriage. On the future.
Yeah, I want y'all to pay attention to the parentheses that I'm going to lay out here.
Because all right,
reading it just how the quote is. I think it says a lot that I've been in a happy, healthy relationship for some time now, focused on the future, marriage and kids. Meanwhile, Deepthi, single, exaggerates and embellishes the past, desperate to extend her 15 minutes of fame." Shake is the worst motherfucker who's ever been on that show, dog. No question. So, single. Come on, that's man. Crazy.
Wow. He's so awful. I forgot. And he hasn't changed at all. Shake is still my number one. I think you got Jeremy too high. I would move him down. That's probably because I hate Laura. I would throw in, I'm going to take out Uche, even though he's awful. And I'm going to throw in Shayna. You remember Shayna?
Yes. Yes.
Shayna was this, blonde woman from
season one, I believe,
or two, or early season, not season one. Season one was like the Jessica, Mark, Amber. There were really no true villains. Season one, Jessica got a lot of hate, but ultimately was kind of exonerated, I think, to some degree, because the guy that she rejected turned out to be a real cad. You remember Mark? Anyways, Shayna was the super blonde woman who was like, she ended up with a guy, she left him immediately, and she made a play for this dude, Shane. She had a real Jan 6 family. You remember when they met that family and she was really awful.
A lot of chicken fried steak, you know what I'm saying, being eaten in that family.
you got to watch this. There's all this like coded like talk about like values and this and that with her and her family. But that's not why she was really shitty to the guy she ended up with. And then she really made a hardcore play for Natalie's man, this crazy dude, Shane. She just, the way she moved really rubbed me the wrong way. And I really, I would say she's probably worse than Arena for me.
Arena rubbed me the wrong way because she had, her and Bliss were competing for Zach, right? Yes. And you remember that moment. Bliss was just a sweetheart. And I'm glad that they worked it out and it looks like they're building a great life together. And you remember when she like set up his room on his birthday with candles and cupcakes and all that.
Yeah, she tried.
And Arena didn't even know it was this dude's birthday. She was like, you think I could borrow like a candle or something? And Bliss was like, hell no, you can't borrow a fucking candle. And good for Bliss, right? And that was the moment where I was like, Zach, Bliss is the one you need to pick. And he did not pick her. And then they connected. She wasn't into him. She told that man to his face. He looked like a cartoon character. They went on their little, you know, hot honeymoon vacation together, and she was just not into the dude.
She was the OG Megan Fox, too, by the way, because she also brought that up. I don't even remember how it came up with her. It wasn't as bad, but you guys, women got to stop comparing themselves to Megan Fox.
Yeah, it's because the internet was saying she looked like Fiona from Shrek. Like, that was the running joke with her. So,
it was tough.
Called old boy a cartoon?
Yes.
She was really
cartoons
rude to
him, in that relationship. You said what?
Super rude to him. Super rude to him.
Yeah, she was terrible to that dude, bro.
Yeah. Well, Mina
and Zach called it off like after the honeymoon stage. Like, yeah, let's not do this, bro.
Mina, thank you so much for hopping on with us. You can catch all of her Love Is Blind YouTube recaps. Love Is Kimes. Before you go, my last question is: you've seen the finale. You've been holding that over our head. So much respect for you. Give us some tease. Like, is it an exciting finale? Is it bland? Like, what can people expect in broad strokes?
I feel like Adam Schefter when you're on set with him and he knows shit. And he's like, and you'll be like, wow, what's going to happen? Is someone going to trade up for pick three? And he'll be like, who's to see? And he has this like little smile.
He does have a Keebler Elf smile, too. That's great. Like, yeah.
That's how I feel. I got all this power. It is. So I thought, let me just say this. I thought it would be boring. Because I was like, I know what's going to happen, whatever. It is not boring. And that is all I will say. Ooh. Like something surprising. And I'm not. And you can read that any way you want, but something surprising.
Yeah. Okay.
And something legitimately fascinating happens involving one of the families.
Oh, wow. All right. How about this? Let's do our pick on who we think says yes. And you can give us your spoiler free reviews on, okay. on our predictions. Okay. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
All right. So we have got.
I'm gonna just let you do the predictions because I don't know enough about this. I've never seen one of these finales, so you give your predictions.
Just who you think? Both people in the couple are gonna say I do.
Okay.
All right.
Clay and AD, I think both of them say I do. I've come around on them. I think Clay's signing up for this, even though he knows it might end terribly for him. Even though he knows he might not be.
I don't think Clay says I do. I don't think Clay says I do. I don't think.
I think Clay and AD both say I do. Okay.
I'm gonna say they say I do.
Yeah. Johnny and Amy both say I do, of course. Happily ever after. Right there, right? We all agree on that.
I don't know. I think the birth control thing might be a big deal.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like the arguments they're having are very fundamental arguments. That's my only concern with them. But I'll say yes. I'll believe in love. Yes, I say they both say it.
Chelsea and Jimmy, they left us with a cliffhanger where they were at Carolyn's and having dinner, and Chelsea kind of had some, you know, some shit on her face after she saw Trevor. Do you think they say I do? Because I think both of them do.
I think Chelsea doesn't say I do.
I'll say no. I'll be an optimist and say no.
All right. Some incorrect predictions, and I'll just leave it at that.
That works enough.
There we go.
We appreciate you.
Mina, thanks so much for hopping on. We appreciate you. Everyone else, we'll be back soon with our recap of the finale. Very excited. And yeah, Mina, thanks again for hopping on. It was awesome.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. You'll know when you get it. It'll say eBay, authenticity, guarantee. You'll feel it. Because when it comes to your feet, eBay has your back. Maybe it's that head-turning pair for hooping or a hot new collab. Whatever you're after, when you cop on eBay, you can trust that your kicks will be checked by experts. Not just any expert. Sneaker experts who live and breathe the culture. Real people with real hands-on authentication experience. That's when Blue Checkmark represents on our listing. eBay Authenticity Guarantee, meaning every inch, stitch, sole, logo is verified authentic through a detail inspection. So when you finally step into those grill kicks, you'll realize the feeling is unlike any other. And with eBay Authenticity Guarantee, the feeling of real is always within reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure, to start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, right. let's keep rolling for a second, because I want to have a discussion with y'all about Jeremy, man.
All right.
Okay.
Because, look, I'm going to tell you, I think he's an all-time Love is Blind dickhead, but I feel him, though. And I'm going to tell you why.
Oh, let's talk about that.
Okay, yes, okay. And I'm going to tell you why I feel him. I think there's a good conversation to be had here about the currency of humor in a relationship, because I think all of us are dudes who, that is our ace in the hole, making a woman laugh, right? Mm-hmm. And I think when he connected with Laura in person.
By ace in a hole, you mean literally the only thing. Yes.
right. And
dick and jokes. That's all I got for you.
Dick and jokes. Right. And I think that when he connected with Laura, for whatever reason, those jokes weren't hitting in person. Maybe Laura just was not physically attracted to him, whatever the reasoning was, but he knew then, and I saw it in him as a dude who knows that jokes are my lifeline with women, right? I saw it right then and there that he knew that he was on borrowed time. Because I'm telling you, as someone who's been in relationships and making my woman laugh is my thing, when those laughs start drying up, you know you're on borrowed time, bro. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like he knew that. I felt like he handled it terribly. Staying out till 5 a.m. when your mom's meeting, her at 6 hours later is ridiculous. Right. I'm not at all excusing the actions there, but I feel like I don't know if we need to play our violin for Laura, because I don't think she was all the way into it. And I think Jeremy knew that as a dude who's probably like us, where his whole currency with women is making them laugh. I think he saw the writing on the wall, and I think he was like, well, Let me go ahead and fucking, you know, do my kamikaze shit and crash this motherfucker and ruin this so I can get out of it. I feel like that was the approach that he took there. Like I said, I'm not at all excusing his actions. I think he handled it like a dickhead, but I see the reasoning behind it. And I'm wondering if y'all, as people who are, as dudes who have, you know, made women laugh is your whole shit, if y'all saw the same shit too.
I didn't necessarily see it as much. I just thought she was mean. Like, she just wasn't nice. But
she
to
was
him.
She wasn't that person in the pause though.
No, like, not in the pause. Like,
he was cracking her up in the pause.
Yeah,
shit.
But I'm saying she was always on his head saying like he'd say, I love you, and then I hate you in the morning. Like, that's cool sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then like also at the beginning, like you gotta kind of get a feel for each other. Like, even her mom was like, I know she a lot. She can, you know what I mean? The way she treats people is, you know, like, she was like, kind of like, I don't know, you know what I mean? How she moves. But yeah, bro, I just think, like, more than anything, I just didn't think Laura was kind. You feel me? Sarah Ann, she got that January 6th vibe too, but at least she seems kind to him. And I could see why he wouldn't want to be with her. How he handled it was fucking stupid. Right. Bro, you've known her for 4 days. You don't owe anybody shit. Just shake, dog. It's okay, bro. You know what I mean? They're not even paying you. Leave. You don't have to make yourself look like a whole dickhead. You know what I mean? So I think they both showed their true colors and how they dealt with the thing, with stuff. But yeah, I think she was not nice more than not laughing at his jokes. So I would see why he would not want to be around her. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's still an asshole.
Yeah, I definitely didn't pick up on that, but I think... It's funny that Mina hated Laura so much because I think I was just kind of dazzled by how expertly she like slammed the trap shut on him.
Sliced and diced his ass. Ooh, up.
Like, yeah, like, you know,
pinpoint precision.
The sword so sharp how you didn't know that you were dead yet.
But how expertly did she close the door? Because I felt like she left it a bit open because she was pissed when she found out he boxed her shit up.
Yes, no. I was just talking about specifically the conversation where she was like, you know, she backed him into the corner and then was like, and by the way, I do know that you weren't at the fucking in the parking lot the whole time. Like, I was just so impressed by that. But I said to Shar and I had we were doing a list of like, who do you think were the most emotionally intelligent people on the show? And I had Laura on my list towards the top, and Shar kind of gave me a like, you know what I mean? I think she and Mina saw the same thing in Laura that I was so enjoying what she did to Jeremy in that conversation
If we can stop right there, I think that's another good conversation to have, because how differently do men and women view emotional intelligence? I think we probably view it as not taking any shit, as cutting the bullshit off as soon as you see it, which is kind of what Laura does, right? But maybe, you know, Mina and your wife see emotional intelligence not as that, as being a bit more receptive, or being a bit more open, being someone who's willing to have conversations to kind of dig into shit before closing the door on shit.
Yeah.
You feel me?
I'll say Shar and I love Clay and AD and the conversations that they're having about like you have the like reality show, like bullshit stuff. I really felt like those are like real conversations of like, I'm afraid of marriage because of this experience that happened with my dad. And obviously it's a joke that he said this shit so often, but also as someone, I mean, y'all know the story with my dad and everything, that shit was in my head a motherfucker when I was a teenager, bro. I mean, really, like, on an almost daily basis, you know? So I get that, and I love the way that they communicated with each other, including her just stating very clearly, like, this is what it is for me. I'm not going to lie to you about that. I'm not going to misrepresent it. And if it's not that for you, I'll move on and figure something else out. But I love the way that they were open with each other about that, and that she sensed that he, even though she said they've got that traditional marriage view, right? I can follow him. He can lead me, all this stuff. She sensed that he was afraid and needed her in that moment and was like, I've got you as you figure all this shit out. I really, whatever happens with them, I enjoyed there being a trashy reality TV show where shit like that happened too.
I also think like his experiences, you know, can be, you know, I mean, his insecurities can be amplified in this experiment. You know what I mean? Where like, I think he would have been afraid regardless, but being that he has to make such an important decision in such a short time with somebody he doesn't know, just amplifies those that insecurity. You know what I'm
with
saying?
With everyone watching.
You know what I'm saying? And with everyone watching. So I think he really likes AD. I think AD's fucking, he thinks AD's dope. I think he's attracted to her and all that shit. But I also think he's more of a realist, where he's like looking at like, you know, he didn't come home not because he didn't want to be home with AD. It's like, yo, I don't know if we're going to work it out, but this business needs to fucking work out. I'm going to handle this shit first because he's not as bought into the experiment as AD is. The reason she approached Laura the way, Sarah Ann the way she approached her was because she's so bought into the experience. The reason she said that, you know, if you say no to me, like, it's a wrap. I'm here for this because she's so bought in. And I don't think he's as bought in to the experiment. I think he really likes her. And I think he's just, you know, he's scared. And I think because of that issue, but I think he's just scared in general. He's a 30-year-old man, is very career focused, you know what I'm saying? And he's about to make potentially the biggest decision of his life in front of everybody with not more than abbreviated time period that is necessary to make that decision. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I think so much of how Clay moves, of course, it makes sense if you realize he's attracted to him, but it also makes sense if you realize he's a salesperson, right? Like, you know, for one, like we joke about how he tells us 30 fucking times a season about his dad's failed marriage with his mom, right? Like, that's a salesperson sticking to the script, telling you the same shit over and over again, right? We talk about how he has, like, you know, looked at marriages and seen how marriages don't work and how he's skeptical how it'll work for him. That's market analysis. That's something salespeople do there too, right? And we also talk about how he's a head nodder, look you in your eyes, yeah,
smile, type guy, right? Doesn't feel like smiling, right? Which is a very sales type.
He's a salesperson like a motherfucker, and we see that so much in his personality and the way he talks about relationships. But I think Clay's a genuinely good dude, but I do think that he's not sure if this is for him. But I do think that he probably, I think he's going to, I mean, Mina put some doubt, some seasons out of my mind, but I do think he's going to sign up for this, like, fuck it, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
I'm excited. We cleared. What are y'all doing for the finale? Do you have anything like set up special? We're getting our favorite food delivered. We're putting the kids down early.
Hey, I'm muting and a whole bunch of words on motherfucking Twitter, and me and Summer making a night of it, dog.
When is it? Is it drop on Wednesday?
Yeah.
This coming Wednesday. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Not tomorrow, right?
No, technically.
Oh shit.
3 a.m. Eastern time tonight.
Okay. Damn. 12 a.m. Okay. Y'all time. Damn. Okay. Fire.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was great. I'm very excited. We got to wrap the episode up so we can figure out when we're gonna do our recap of the finale and all that shit. But hope everyone's excited for the finale. Thanks for listening. Thanks again so much to Mina for hopping on, and we'll talk to y'all guys soon. Bye.
Bye.
The Volume.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.